It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
When you're feeling good about your game, you never want to be taken out of a rhythm. Sucks, especially, you know, you want to be there, like I said, helping the team win, and it sucks watching from up top. Just makes you itch more to get back out there, and that's, I think, what makes it really difficult is wanting to be out there on the ice, and sometimes that makes you push it when it's not in your best interest, and that's kind of the situation I'm in right now, so I'm just trying to be smart with it.
Sabres skating this afternoon in California to kick off a three-game road trip in a four-day span that begins tomorrow against Los Angeles. Welcome to a brand new week. Let's hope that Thompson is, at the very least, the centerpiece of what could be four different-looking lines based on recent results, but more out of necessity, Marty, based on the fact that Tuck didn't practice yesterday, Greenway is out week to week, and I think beyond scoring from the blue line, they're still trying to find some consistency and rhythm among forward skaters. So I'm going to start this week by saying, like, lines matter. And this is funny based on, like, your favorite guy, everybody's favorite guy, broadcasting legend, John Davidson, last night.
Broadcasting legend, yes.
That's the title on the screen when he pops up for a second time on the Columbus broadcast last night. And they led in, and remember, Columbus had been going bad. Then they had a big win Friday and a terrible loss Saturday. So they led with all these new look lines, right? Three of the four lines were dramatically changed. And guess what? Like, Columbus came out. They were so solid in their win over Boston last night. It was super impressive. And I think, you know, there's obviously urgency with every game. And you know that from Lindy Ruff. So I'm really curious to see how it all shakes down now with Rosén called up and the potential look of this group.
Well, it's not just Isaac Rosén that's getting called up. It was Jiří Kulik that, you know, got called up over the weekend and played Saturday night. So we, you know, haven't had a chance to discuss the fact that Kulik got called up. Levi got sent down. There's a lot of roster movement. There's been some injuries. You know, there's some adjustments that needs to be made. I am not going to look so much into what the lines and the pairings and all of it looked like yesterday, because Tuck is a big piece when you look at the line. So Zucker was with Thompson and Peterka, but if Tuck is back, he's in that place. It puts Zucker probably with McLeod and Kulik, and then, you know, it adjusting because Greenway isn't there. Are you playing Rosén? You called him up, and I get you're going out west, so you want, you know, an extra body up front or even two extra bodies up front. But if you call him up, why not try him? Why not try to get the most, and I'm going to say talent, or at least offensive talent in your lineup to try to create, because even if Thompson comes back, well, okay, is he 100%? Tuck is not 100%. We know now that he's dealing with an ailment that kept him off practice, but Lindy's hoping that he's back at practice today. So I'm looking at, okay, can you get Kulik in? Can you get Rosén in? And can you find a way to get that offense started again. Scoring first, right? We talked about scoring first is so important. Well, it didn't happen against Philly, and it didn't happen, you know, when they played Montreal. There's a lot that hasn't happened that's their keys to their success. So for me, the offense and inserting players that can help the offense is the number one priority.
Is there a scenario where you look at the forwards, and again, there will be more clarity later this afternoon when the Sabres skate in LA. Is there potential to have Jiří and Isak on the same line or not?
I wouldn't do it just because if they're both dressing, you probably start with both of them on separate lines. Just a numbers way, right? Because I would think that I would anticipate Tuck is going to be good to go and Thompson are going to be good to go. So Zucker is going to be playing on a different line. The only one that, okay, would you put Jiří Kulik in the place of Jack Quinn? And all of a sudden, right, that changes your dynamic on your second line. I think it's still a big issue for me in creating offense from the Cousins line. Like, Cousins has had better games lately, and that's good. Benson is a big part of the energy and the offense that's been created, but I'm not seeing a lot from Jack Quinn, and it's been like that now for, you know, what is it, like 17 games, 16, 17 games? 18. Yeah, I missed the one. That's because we didn't work the St. Louis one. So
there's a few we haven't worked.
But the two we haven't worked, that's the one.
A few. I don't even know. I just know that we haven't
worked. Yeah, okay. So could you put Kulik in place of Quinn and say, okay, we're going to. I think there's a lot of options there. I don't think Lindy Ruff is at that point right now, but because you're calling up two prospects that are, in my opinion, going to need to factor into the eventual success of the team, well, maybe you force that in a little bit sooner, especially, you know, because you got three games and four nights.
I think the only reason it became a possibility is when I looked at yesterday's lines in the absence of Tuck and saw Zucker with Thompson and Paterka and felt like maybe you could put Jiří Kulik with Ryan McLeod and Isak Rosanne.
Yeah.
And then figure out what you want to do between Krebs, Lafferty, Obey Kubel, and Malenstein. And I think part of the reason I, you know, gave that some consideration was A, familiarity, and what would be the best possible line to put these two together on. And based on, dare we say, the overachievement of Ryan McLeod so far this year and the speed with which he plays,
give him a look.
That to me seemed like there's potential there, but is it pie in the sky? I don't know. I just, you know,
there's potential, and I agree with you, Duffer, but I still think that the linchpin or what would unlock all of this and say, yeah, let's try Kulik and Rosanne with McLeod is if you're getting consistent production from the Cousins line. Yeah. Because if you're not, then you have to mix things up. Like, Malenstein, Krebs, Obi Kubel, and Lafferty were the fourth line players that were going to rotate in and out, right? That, like, so right now, if you have to elevate Krebs and elevate Lafferty or whatever, it's not the original plan. The original plan was those guys are the fourth line and they're going to rotate there and they're going to give energy and speed and whatever. And that's fine. I think that if you had a second line that was producing consistently, then if you call up Kulik and you say, hey, you and McLeod and Rosanne are going to play together because we're getting our top six production and whatever you can give us is a bonus and our fourth line is going to stay our fourth line. I'd say completely agree with you. Let's go, right? Let's not even worry about it. They're going to be fine. Because we're not getting consistent production from the Cousins line, now you're starting to overthink it. You're like, well, I need production somewhere. I can't just be the Thompson line. I need and it can't just be the offense from the defense. I need production somewhere else in the forward groups. So now you're starting to think, okay, maybe I got to move Krebs up. Maybe I got to move Lafferty here. Maybe I got to not have Kulik and Rosanne on the same line. Like there's so much that you have to overthink because one aspect of your top six isn't producing the way that it should?
One aspect perhaps, but multiple aspects of not being at full health. And that's why we're having the discussion. And again, the hope, the trend, belief was that Thompson has been going the right direction for basically a week now, and that the target of Wednesday, tomorrow against LA, would be met. So you heard from Tage off the top. Hopefully that's the case. Mm-hmm. The Tuck situation is definitely different. Zucker's gotten quiet a little bit too, right? Like, this is part of it. You know, McLeod had a big hand in last week's one win against St. Louis, but he was playing on the top line at that point in time. And the power play, obviously, like, you know, you got into such a tough position against Philadelphia the other day that the, you know, you take the numbers with a pretty large grain of salt, given where the game was at when the offense came to light, right?
Yes.
The disappointment, it's not, I shouldn't say it this way. It's, you always want players to be like in a good place to come in and contribute. And you would know this far more than I would. It's just Rochester had been going so good. Mm-hmm. Now they've hit a 4-game dry patch. And when I say dry, I'm only looking at the offense. Like, the power play has gone 0 for 16, including 0 for 7 in Toronto, including a last 2 minutes of the game power play, which I witnessed in person in the stands at Coca-Cola Coliseum on Sunday as Zach Metsa hit the crossbar with 5 seconds left in the game, could have won it in regulation time. And so Kulik's numbers were not soaring when he got called up. Roseanne's numbers have gone quiet. Almost every single offensive threat in Rochester has gone quiet the last 2 weeks, save for the bottom line guys like, you know, Brendan Warren, Graham, like these guys are playing outstanding. Yeah. But they have, so that's kind of why I'm bringing it up, because I don't know whether part of my like vision is like, oh, put them back together and see what happens at the NHL level too, or do I just like pump the brakes and just say, look, we know who the guys are that have been on the roster all year long, and we're approaching game 20 on this trip. Mm-hmm. They need to get more from the bottom six, right? Or maybe I don't even know. Like, I can't even say bottom six because you already said it. It's kind of like the middle six and
the middle six is a little, whatever. Where do you get it? And look,
mine's two
Thompson,
and four, maybe. I don't know.
Tom, and I say get back your offense, right? Work to get your offense. Well, they did score a ton of goals. If you look at just the month of November, you know, they still scored 5 on Ottawa, 6 Rangers, 5 against the Canadians and lost. And that's when they lost Tage Thompson. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was hard to produce against St. Louis and hard to produce against the Flyers. Mm-hmm. And that were the two games that Tage Thompson wasn't there. Does it make a big difference if you don't have Tage, especially the way that he had been playing? Yes, makes a huge difference. But injuries are happening everywhere around the league. Austin Matthews in Toronto, everywhere. Like, there's guys that are stepping up. Where are your guys that needs to step up right now, other than Byram and Dalene producing offensively, but it takes away from other parts of their games? And so that's where it is so important for me that the Sabres find that rhythm, find their offensive rhythm again, with or without Thompson, with or without Tuck. Like, get the offensive rhythm. And now we know that, you know, they have made some roster movements by sending Devon Levi down to Rochester. They've got Luukkonen healthy now, back. He's ready to go for the road
trip. That's the hope, right? Again, this is...
They wouldn't have sent Levi down if it
sure. I get that, but you know it from playing the position. Until you get back in there, in a game situation, you can't know 100%. So, yes, the hope is he is absolutely 100%.
Oh. You can't know 100%, but it's easier for a goaltender to know closer to 100%, for example, than a player. Because a player, you have to deal with body contact, one-on-one battles, tight changes, or whatever. A goalie, you can push it pretty much close to what the game situation is going to be like.
Your teammates don't get in your cage in practice, though, like all the other opponents are going to do.
But I'm just saying, like, testing your body, like testing your muscles, your whatever ailment was, you know, kind of holding Luukkonen out, you can really test that by pushing with movements and at a certain level. I mean, I've seen goalies really push hard in practice, which is easier to do than the players push into the game level. But you know, so they made the roster movement. Levi is gone to Rochester now and going to play at Laval tomorrow. And, you know, it's for him to get back on a run and get back playing well. Because if he had been playing well in Buffalo, he'd still be in Buffalo. It wouldn't be a question. It'd be Reimer on waivers. And sorry, James, maybe they don't even pick up James Reimer on waivers. Maybe they just figure, hey, you know what? Lukanen's going to be back. Let's just figure out goalie situation short term, and we're fine with Levi and Lukanen. Levi did not perform well here in the last little bit. He didn't play a lot either, so you got to give him that. But, you know, it's for him to go back and perform now and to build back up, because Lukanen, after a tough start, built back up and has been performing. We don't know what you're going to get out of Reimer whenever he plays or whatnot. So Levi going down, then you're allowing yourself to have two forwards and one defenseman extra on the roster, not 1-1-1 or whatever, right? The roster flexibility is better for you to now say, okay, I'm going to insert player X on up front and try to generate that offense that we've been missing without Tage Thompson.
So the Amerks have three goalies right now, but Hauser is not traveling on this trip to Laval because of a bug. So it'll be Levi and Sandstrom. And, you know, just to kind of put in perspective some of the other stuff that's, you know, been going on with the Amerks in this four-game losing streak, Sandstrom was really good again on Sunday afternoon in Toronto. It could have gotten out of hand really early. And unfortunately, he had to stare down a 175-foot breakaway from Alex Nylander in overtime. And as Nylander once showed us when he was at his first development camp with the Sabres, he's pretty good on breakaways and tends to pick his spots, you know? So like these are tough moments. And Akhtiamov, who's a first-year Marlies netminder, was absolutely sensational. I mean, you don't go 7-for-7 on the PK in all likelihood without spectacular goaltending. So keep an eye on him with Toronto. He has been an absolute like wonder to watch. I'm curious for you to see him at some point and kind of give me your goalie assessment of his mechanics, fluidity in the crease. Like, I really like the look of this kid. And the Marlies have only one regulation loss this year. They've had a bunch of games not go their way beyond regulation, but you know, Laval's kind of running away at the
running
top.
Running away with it.
Cleveland kind of got their game figured out after the Amerks beat them a few times. Marlies, you know, it's looking very much like the North that we know, right? And so this four game run without a win for the Amerks has been pretty challenging. Oh, and you know, I was kind of tongue in cheek last week, because there's more to the game than offense, but I don't know when Ryan Johnson is going to score. Oh my gosh. He had two stunning opportunities, busting down with his great speed from the left wing, getting passes. And, you know, I was like, I really hope he gets his first goal soon, because we may see floodgates if it ever happens for Ryan. But yeah, that was...
I don't know if we'll see floodgates just because it hasn't happened now. So maybe we'll see a little slow drip on Ryan Johnson and the production. But yeah, okay. So, you know, again, it comes down to offensive production, and not just in terms of goals, in terms of shot attempts, scoring chances, all of that, right? Like the Sabres and Rochester, for that matter, need to find a little bit of a rhythm. And seasons go like this. Seasons go up and down and up and down, and you have to manage those swings. Injuries are part of it, just pointed out. So the Sabres are going to have to start managing those, and that when things are good, they're really good. When things are not that good, you got to manage something that is going to work for you. And maybe it's the goalies, you know, stealing your game. Look, Samuel Montembeau stole a game for the Montreal Canadiens against the Edmonton Oilers last night. Right from the get-go, he was unbelievable. Did Montreal deserve to win it? No. But he stole a game. So maybe a goalie like Lukanen needs to steal your game when you're looking to get things going. And that those are the question marks and the lack of answers that we're getting so far, which is not crazy. Like, they're not, you know, 20 points away from a playoff spots. They're close. This week could change, and you go out and you win all three games on the West Coast. It's a big difference. Like, that's where you're at right now with how tight it is in the Atlantic and the Eastern Conference.
Well, I'll go one step further and say the league, because Buffalo is 2 points from 16th and they're 2 points from 31st.
Exactly. So, yeah, well, I'm a glass half full guy, right? No, so, but I'm looking ahead, but yes.
And the only reason I mention it is because Montreal, for all their troubles, has won three of the last four. They're right there behind Buffalo right now. And I want to give some perspective to people of what the Sabres are up against on this trip. The Kings have been a little uneven of late. They're 2-3 in the last five, but are off to, relatively speaking, a good start to the season and defeated Buffalo 3-1 in their first game of the year. Mm-hmm. Anaheim is challenged from an injury standpoint, but I would say for the first time in a long time, I am very excited about their future. Their kids are warming to the task right now. Olin Zellweger, Cutter Gauthier, Brett Leeson, and one of the best goaltending stories in the league this year in Lucas Dostal. So they've won three out of four, have the Ducks. They took both head-to-head with Buffalo last year, and they're at Chicago tonight, meaning they then have 2 days off before hosting Buffalo on Friday. Yeah. And the capper of this trip, San Jose. I don't know if I've ever seen, certainly in recent memory, a team have so much enjoyment in what turned out to be a surprising, because it needed overtime, victory for them on home ice last night. Yeah. The lifelong, basically, voice of the Sharks even had a hint of surprise in his game throughout the telecast. Randy Hahn was like, this is a really good game. Like, but saying it from a full-on entertainment perspective, Marty, every single time they cut to the bench, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith were laughing, were talking, were outrageously smiling and enjoying the moment. And Celebrini gets the overtime winner, his first career game-winning goal. Mm-hmm. This San Jose team, think about this. They lost 9 games in a row to start the year.
Yeah.
Since the sensation in Salt Lake, the comeback down by 3, less than 5 minutes to go, win the game in overtime. The Sharks are 6-3-2. There's 3 teams in the NHL that have more points in that stretch: Washington, Carolina, and Toronto. This San Jose team, and by the way, 6-3-2. The two shootout losses came when they were trailing 3-0 in both of those games. And the 3 regulation losses were against Vancouver, Minnesota, and the New York Rangers, a combined 31-12-7. So it's not like they had tough, you know, like they threw games away here. This San Jose team is ridiculously exciting right now. And they have Askarov backing up Mackenzie Blackwood in this incredible stretch. They won last night. They're going to play back-to-back, the Sharks are, this week on Wednesday and Thursday before hosting the Sabres on Joe Thornton jersey retirement night, Saturday afternoon, 5 local, 8 Eastern time.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Again, you point me some good goaltending, and I'll tell you a team that's doing better, and the San Jose Sharks with Mackenzie Blackwood, but Vitek Vanacek also playing well before now not being available. But Mackenzie Blackwood is a big difference. And now, to us, even discussing it last Friday, I believe it was, is Mackenzie Blackwood, is he a trade bait? They have Askarov. Now they're going to give Askarov some games because they're going to want to see where they're at with their goaltending. But there's some talk around the NHL is, hey, if a team is looking for a goaltender, maybe Mackenzie Blackwood is that guy to look at for reinforcement. That's why San Jose's done a lot better. Now, they're playing better as a team, absolutely, and they're young players. When you get through 10, 12 games in the season, you know, yeah, you're still young, you'll still make mistakes, but you understand the game better, you understand what you have to do, you play better, you're more comfortable, and their young players are doing that. So yeah, you're going into the West Coast where it used to be the Kings are hard to play against, Anaheim and San Jose are bottom feeder. You're going into this trip saying the Kings are still hard to play against, Anaheim is hard to play against, has got really good goaltending, both by Dostal and Gibson now, who's healthy.
Fourth and best San Jose save percentage.
Yeah, and And San Jose, who's hard to play against now because the young kids are just, by the way, they were down 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2 in the game.
A terrible offensive zone penalty with 3 minutes left and lost the lead only to win in overtime. It was stunning that they had the wherewithal to be able to get through it.
But it's a difference if the guys are on the bench smiling and having fun, if you're up 2-0 and 4-0, and then all of a sudden, like, they're not cutting to the bench and showing the bench having fun. But they were tied down one goal, Like, they're playing free in San Jose, and that's fine. That's Mike Greer, the GM, trying to build back the fun aspect and everything. They got a coach that they believe was going to help in that department. So good. But that road trip is not what it used to be. It's not what it was last year. It's not what it was 2-3 years ago. It's a very different road trip going out on the West Coast and playing those three teams.
You know who Joe Thornton played his first game against, right, with the Sharks?
It was against the Sabres.
Yeah. It's fitting that Joe's retirement happens with the Sabres there. San Jose has won 4 times in their history in Buffalo. One of them was Joe Thornton's first night as a Shark in a 5-0 win where you had to mop up for an untidy Mika Norinen.
Yeah, well, I should have started. That would have been the difference
exactly.
There.
Like, Joe Thornton's legacy
Lindy making
in San
a bad
Jose
decision.
Would have
wait,
been different
wait a second.
If you had started that game.
Would have been a big difference. But I mean, it's kind of a coincidence of some sort to see that Joe Thornton is going to get his jersey retired on a, but it's also the way the schedule worked out and the Sabres are in town in that afternoon. Is it matinee 5 p.m.? Do we call it matinee now?
I wouldn't. But
I wouldn't. It's
you
early,
do you,
early
I'll
evening.
Do me.
I'll do me. I won't call a matinee at noon. That's the way I go. This is going to be a big test for the Sabres. Big test. You talked about the standings, and I know people are saying, well, it's only a few games in and we've got 18 games played, but you have 2 games in hand on Boston. You're 2 points back and that's 4th place in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, seriously,
right.
A successful trip. You're top 4 and you're probably getting closer to Tampa, which has a couple of games in hand, but still, like, you're putting yourself in a much better place with a really successful road trip.
Speaking of matinees, we have a Black Friday one coming up. It's a 3 p.m. start against the Vancouver Canucks, and we want you to show up in style for Black and Red Friday. It's November 29th, and we have special edition Black and Red t-shirts and ticket packs that are available now at sabres.com/blackandred. So purchase yours today. We'll zip around the NHL a little more as we get set for the Sabre road trip that begins tomorrow in L.A., but lots of big stories league-wide we'll touch on next on Sabres Live.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres in LA tomorrow. Expectation is Lukanen returns to the crease, obviously with James Reimer backing up now that Devon Levi has been assigned to Rochester. I feel like a lot of people just jumped to the conclusion that Reimer is going to get the Anaheim game, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. They're
because he
in
knows
the,
them well.
No, he doesn't. He,
he was there
for a three-year San Jose Shark. If he's going to play, he should play against the San Jose Sharks. Like, he was nothing. Literally, he was a placeholder in Anaheim this year.
But he practiced with them for a while. No, I think that's silly. Like, you.
But no, like, if Lukanen wins, here's my thing. If Lukanen wins Wednesday, you're not traveling. You're staying in the same area. Wouldn't you give him the Anaheim game on Friday? No back-to-back. And then in the tougher situation, traveling after to go to San Jose for the early, well, not early, but the earlier late afternoon game in San Jose, wouldn't Reimer get that game?
Win or lose, this is a very easy road trip to plan for the goalies.
Okay.
It's Lukanen Wednesday, it's Lukanen Friday, and it's Reimer Saturday. But really, like, I want to say, could you go all three Lukanen? Like, I know he's coming back from an injury and all of that.
Like, I've lost all credibility. That's assuming I had some to begin with. So,
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, then you don't play until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving again at home against Minnesota. Like, what are you? I'm just saying, like, it's Lukanen Wednesday, Friday, in my opinion, 100%, unless there was a setback medically and all of that. But it's a very easy road trip to plan when it comes to goaltending this week.
Well, the biggest injury story in the NHL has affected the league's goal-scoring leader, Alex Ovechkin. He was on track for another hat trick last night, having already scored two goals in Utah. And trust me when I say, jerseys alone cannot stop a puck. And we found that out last night after Utah wowed the NHL with jersey sales, but their goaltending was subpar. And I have no question in my mind that Ovi would have had another hat trick before sustaining a leg injury. He is now listed as week to week. That is the latest from the Capitals. So a major setback for one of the major storylines in the NHL this year from a team and individual standpoint.
Remember when we showed the goal-scoring leaders of Cole Caulfield and Tage Thompson and Sam Reinhart, and Ovi was never on those graphics. Then all of a sudden, he's like 15 goals before he got hurt yesterday. He's two better than anybody else. Like, on pace for over 60 this season, and now he's going to miss week to week. And it's not just the fact that Ovechkin is having a great start to the year, which he didn't have last year, but he had a great second half. So now you're thinking, okay, put the second half of last year, this year. It's the chase for the great one's record. And being healthy and on pace to do it this season, which most people, me included, thought it's going to be in a year from now. Like, Ovechkin may get to 30, 35 this year, but he won't get to 42. And he was well on pace to get there. Oh, I lost my camera again, Jeff, so I'm going to click it back, but that's good. You're running B-roll, so that's good on MSG. But anyway, it just, to me, it's devastating because Washington has been such a great story. Ovechkin has been such a big part of that great story. Mm-hmm. And now he's hurt week to week. This is not a, oh, well, we'll evaluate tomorrow, day to day. Let's see what happens. It's been pretty bad.
Can the Capitals overcome this loss? And can you overcome your camera issues?
I don't know if I can overcome my camera
issues. Oh, my gosh. So now you have audio issues. This is...
I'm going to make sure the wire is right in there. Give me a second, because you can see that my name is on the screen, and now I'm back. So, okay.
Use a fake alias next time?
I can, yeah, make a fake name for the screen. Like, that would be bad, because knowing me, I would forget about it, and then it would show up on the screen, and it would be something really, really obscene. So,
now's a good time to remind Bill Wiffert we need a nice headshot of you. So let's go with that.
Oh. Can the Washington Capitals overcome the loss of Alex Ovechkin? I would love to say yes, because goaltending has been good. They play a really solid team game. Mm-hmm. Their second line with Dubois and Wilson and McMichael have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the leader of the charge is Alex Ovechkin, and it's a big, big hole that they will have to overcome. So I'm going to give the runner a chance, because they've shown me from the start of the season, that they're much better than I would ever anticipated. So I'm going to give them a chance, but it's going to be a hard one to overcome.
Dylan Strome is actually leading the Capitals in points with 28 in 18 games. Connor McMichael is not far off the Rocket lead as he is at 12, just three behind Ovechkin. Alexei Protas continues to produce at a point a game clip. Their defense, which is new look to a certain extent, is still getting the consistent, despite advancing age, production from John Carlson. Pierre-Luc Dubois is up to 11 assists now. He can't score.
No.
But that's okay because
his wingers are scoring.
Yes. And I think, if anything, the instinct of the Capitals organizationally recently helps them through this, bringing back the familiar face of Lars Eller just for stability in depth. At times, you're never forecasting this, obviously, but I like the look of their depth, and they've had really strong contributions from a fourth line featuring Dowd, Radish, and Duhaime. And if you saw any of last night's game against Utah, you would understand where I'm coming from on that standpoint. And then, you know, not to be lost. I don't know. Did you see the tough night for Charlie Lindgren? One sequence, he lost his glove. Next sequence, he lost his helmet. And then it was like, what's he going to lose next?
But the mask, a pad. Like, we've seen goalies lose the pads before. Yeah. Like, yeah, so.
But he's 5-4, and Logan Thompson is 8-0-1. So there's a lot to like in D.C.
Now, there's a lot to like in D.C., and there's, I don't know if you saw, and this is going definitely on a sidebar, but Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was famous for his play with the Washington Capitals and doing the eagle and all of that, he scored a Michigan goal from the slot in Russia. And why I explained myself. He's a lefty. He was coming from the left to the right through the slot. The puck was on edge. He picked it up in the slot, flipped his wrist over, blade down. So he's corralled the puck, and then he flicked it towards the goal and beat the goalie high blocker. So he picked it up in the slot and flicked it like a Michigan would, but not from behind the net, in the slot and beat the goalie high blocker. And in the same continuous motion as he flipped it, the puck barely had crossed the line and entered the net, that he was already doing the bird because he knew that was going in the net. Just an amazing goal that Kuznetsov scored in Russia over the weekend. We're going to show it on MSG right now, Duffer. He comes in and then he scores and gives it the old bird. Like, it just was fantastic. So anything that Washington has touched is going to turn well in the last little bit here.
Except for last night's injury to Ovechkin.
Yes.
And if you missed the update, he is week to week with a lower leg injury after an unexpected collision leg entanglement on a bit of a drive-by with McBain of Utah. So, yeah, I would be wowed more by the Kuznetsov goal if I wasn't victimized by it regularly 20 years ago when I used to play pickup goaltending. Oh. And our good buddy Jeff Merrick and his elite group of skaters that would always play with him would torch me on crazy goals like that long before they became commonplace at the highest level in hockey. So whatever.
I got victimized by Rob Schrempf in that way many times. And Robbie Schrempf was one of the original coming down the on the penalty shot with doing the lacrosse all the way down in the spinorama. He used to do that in practice. So, yeah, so that's why I think it's very impressive, because only a very few can do those type of things, especially at high speed.
You mentioned injuries earlier across the league. Obviously, the Ovechkin one is a huge story. Matthews continuing to be out for Toronto is huge, but they've navigated incredibly well, 7-2-1 the last 10. And he may be back this weekend. We'll see. One of the most, like, life always presents you with stories that are, like, hard to believe. When we saw the Islanders and Sabres, Jordan Greenway hit Mike Riley.
Mike Riley, yeah.
And Mike Riley was knocked out. And because he was knocked out and had to go through concussion protocol, they discovered in the testing of him trying to return that he has a heart ailment that requires surgery, and he is out indefinitely. Mm-hmm. This is so mind-boggling to think that if he didn't get hurt, there could have been more dire consequences down the road for an unsuspecting Riley. Like,
you know what? It happens often, those type of things where you get hurt somewhere and they run body testing and whatever and discover something. And this is pretty significant. You know, I remember Luke Thierrette was a kid that got drafted by the Sabres about my time, like a year or two later. He showed up to camp, did his physical, and then they found out, hey, you have testicular cancer. Like he had no idea. And boom, they found out by running other tests. I had one of my son's friend playing football. He got hit in the ribs and was hurting. And they're like going to the doctors or whatever. They found out that his kidneys were kind of like attached together. So instead of having two, he had one and then couldn't play football anymore. Because what if you like have a really bad kidney injury? You only have one. Like it's all these things that come together. Right. And Mike Riley now obviously is going to be better off because they're going to take care of his heart. But because he got hit and it wasn't a bad hit, it just he hit his head on the ice after, was really looking rough when he came off the ice. There was no penalties. They reviewed it. Everything was fine. But the fact that they ran testing now found that he had a heart condition that needs, you know, a procedure to correct it. That's pretty crazy. And you talk about concussion. We got Darnell Nurse, who got hit by Ryan Reeves over the weekend. That didn't look good on Darnell Nurse at all. Ryan Reeves got suspended 5 games for the hit. Or they given him a 10-game suspension for that hit just because it was unnecessary. You're this big, tough guy. Go and hit a guy through the body. He picked the head clean. He hit him right through the head. Like, it was just awful. I would have given him 10 for that.
It was so scary in the immediate moments after that, seeing how much blood was coming from. I was horrified by it. And, you know, the suspension does nothing for the Oilers. The hope is that Nurse is continuing to get better, which reports say, yes, he is.
Yes.
But the Oilers' very uneven season continued again last night with the loss to Montreal. But as importantly, it continued in that game against Toronto, unable to take advantage of that awful hit, meaning the five-minute power play that resulted, and they ended up losing the game. So it's Edmonton remains one of the most, they're like the attraction that people can't look away from right now.
It's a train wreck. It's a bit of a train wreck in Edmonton right now. Like they were up in Toronto, and then just to have to score a Draisaitl goal late in the game with the goalie pull to be able to get it to overtime, they like lost, what was it, 3-0 to Montreal yesterday. Like it's been a bit of an adventure. Jeff Jackson was on, it was on Prime in Canada yesterday, and he was on during their mission, and he's like, oh, somebody, I think it's Blake Bolden, asked him, what's your biggest move when you were in charge? And he says, well, you know, changing coach last year, but right now it's, you know, there's a lot of conversation about coaching that are in the hot seat around the NHL. The Oilers don't have that option. Chris Knobloch's the head coach. It's just a matter of, can they put it all together? There's a lot going on in Edmonton for sure.
Who's on a hotter seat right now? Montgomery or Lalonde? Boston or Detroit?
Those are the two. I think Montgomery is on the hotter seat because the expectations are higher in Boston. And there has been a trend.
I don't know. Well, I get it, but I think the expectations are pretty high in Detroit, too.
They are. And look, they're both very, very, very hot right now when you look at the seat they're sitting on. But Boston, I think the seat is hot on Don Sweeney as well, because over the last 4 years, the roster has gone completely in a different direction. And who puts the roster together? Your GM. So they don't have Patrice Bergeron anymore. They don't have David Krejci anymore. They don't have Jake DeBrusk anymore. They don't have James Van Riemsdyk anymore. They don't have who's on defense that they lost. But anyway, like they traded Allmark, and then they hadn't signed Jeremy Swayman. They give him the big extension. There's a lot going on in Boston, but as a team right now, where they were top of the league, or at least top 10, almost every year for 3, 4, 5 years in a row. Over the last 3 years, they've gone from top 10 to 15 to 25th in expected goals against. Like, defensively, they're not good anymore. And that is a coaching's job to make sure your team performs, especially on the defensive side.
But Swayman hasn't been good. Korpisalo's numbers have been better. And that is a larger issue. The Detroit thing, though, is just, like, if you didn't know and we were playing a game show and you had to guess as my partner the correct answer, like, what were the shots on goal in San Jose and Detroit last night?
Oh, I would probably say, but I mean, didn't Detroit win a game with 11 shots?
Right. When like, this is a this story.
So I would say it would probably be 35 to 20 for San Jose.
34 to 20. For San
Jose. That's what it was? Okay.
The Red Wings continue to be outshot by the biggest margin. They cannot sustain any games in the offensive zone. They're lucky that they have so much talent that they can sometimes overcome it. Their power plays top 3-4 in the NHL. Mm-hmm. It's elite. But holy cow, every single night, they're just so far on the wrong side of it from shot creation. Oh,
they are second last. They have 24.7 shots per game, and they allowed 32.5. Like, Montreal is right behind them and has almost the same disparity in shots, but they're the bottom two in that category for sure.
Yeah, it's wild. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Young Sabres fans, take note. Kids Takeover Day is January 11th. Kraken are in town. Parents are encouraged to submit video nominations for Young Sabres fans who want to take part in the whole game day experience in various roles. Junior reporter, junior PA announcer, and more. I'm striving for junior analyst. We'll see if that kid ends up on set or not. Visit sabres.com/takeover to submit your nominee today. You do not have to have an NHL shutout on your resume. But Marty Baron did on this date back in, are you serious, 1999? Of course it was against the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah, I used to have success against the Thrashers, but then I had a lot of bad games against them. Like, my quality start ratio to really bad start is 50-50. It was either one or the other, but this is a my first one. I had the Rochester Americans mask, I believe. Or maybe not. I had my new mask by then. But anyway, just I got called up from Rochester just a month before after Dominik Hasek got injured, and I played a few games, and then I played more, and it was great.
A classic Baron shutout, 18 saves and a 4-0 win.
Should have been 25.
The Atlanta Thrashers. 29 today is Grant Ledyard. Happy birthday. We'll see you tomorrow.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.